This is TWiT.
Is Windows 365 this new product? Is it what we thought it would be, Mary Jo? Are we excited about it?
Yeah. Pretty much. The branding isn't what we thought. We definitely thought they were going to call it Cloud PC, and then they announced it as Windows 365 and said, but you can use that service to go to your PC in the cloud, which we call the Cloud PC. I'm like,
oh, God. But there's a reason I think they want to call it Windows 365, because it compares to Office or Microsoft 365.
Oh, and it's literally Windows.
It's
not like you have an
you
don't have an option of other OSs.
Yeah,
it's Windows.
It's a subscription Windows. But what the real question mark for me, because this is not new. Other companies do it.
Microsoft
does it already. Leo, it's brand new. I don't know what you're talking about.
Microsoft does it in Azure. But the question is, it's expensive right now.
Well, okay, so they haven't disclosed the pricing, right? One price, so there's going to be a million SKUs of this thing, probably at least 10, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. The one that leaked is $31 per user per month. So
that's not bad.
That's only for virtualized Windows. That's not including Office. That's not including any apps.
Okay. Office would be potentially another $60.
But it's also kind of a low end SKU, right?
That's the question: how much RAM, how much processor, how much storage?
Yeah. Right. So for the $31, it's two virtual cores, 4 gigs of RAM, 128 gigs of storage. Okay. That's the $31 per user per month. Okay.
So in my mind, the calculus that a business owner like me would be doing is okay. I can buy a Dell Inspiron for Vicky in the bookkeeping, or I can pay $30 a month, $360 a year.
Yeah,
so that's half.
She can use her computer,
and she can just use her computer, a thin client or whatever.
Yeah. Right.
But the problem is that's kind of low end. But then maybe that gives us a starting point. But I think that they have to hit that. They have to it has to amortize out to roughly equivalent to having the hardware.
Exactly. Right. That's your calculation, right? You're like, okay, what if I buy a bunch of cheap PCs, but I give the people more expensive capabilities through the service?
I buy a couple hundred
It'll work with Chromebooks. Yeah. It will.
And then I'll save me on management, IT.
Right.
So I know I'm going to save some money, so I got to figure that savings. I got to figure out the Chromebook cost, and then I got to figure out, does this make sense compared to buying a whole PC?
Right. Because the highest end SKU of this thing, I mean, if you have somebody who has a really low end PC, but they want to access the highest end that they showed us so far is 8 virtual cores, 32 gigs of RAM, 512 gigs of storage.
Okay. Right? That's pretty good.
And they're saying that could be for software developers, engineers, content creators. Not, like they say, if you.
Yeah, but how much is that? $99 a month? I mean,
we don't know how much that is. So,
Yeah, and then it's so a couple of things. So it runs in any browser, right, or any competent browser.
Yeah,
right. So you can run it through a browser or a local RDP client, which gives you more capabilities and more functionality if you go that route.
More security, probably. The real advantage is for my editors, for instance, they can work here.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then they can go home and pick up where they left off.
Exactly.
Right.
Yep.
The poor version. Well, no, it's actually still pretty good. I mean, I think when you add OneDrive to the mix and you have different computers and you can bring up the documents you were just working on, that's really cool. But having your actual environment just be not duplicated, but just it's the same environment. I mean, you're just bringing it up on whatever device you happen to be using. Yeah. That's pretty neat.
There's another market, probably not one Microsoft worries too much about, but people with Macs.
Oh yeah, Mac is supported. Yep.
Which means
they
I can
definitely thinking about them.
Because, the new M1's really, it's going to be a question mark about how you're going to run Windows. But this is
the other way.
This is the right. And this is not even emulation. This is native, right?
That's right. And there's a native RDP client for Microsoft for the Mac.
There is. Yep.
Now, I like that. That might be how I run Windows going forward for me.
Well, so here's the catch, right? This is not for consumers at all. To use this, you have to have licensing rights and a subscription to something called Windows 10 E3, Enterprise Mobility and Security E3, or Microsoft 365 F3 E5. it's not for
an enterprise product.
Normal people.
Yeah,
it's an enterprise product.
I think that changes
exactly.
Right?
So They've been quoted as talking about this as an education product, which they didn't announce any education.
And also small businesses.
Yep, and small businesses.
And enthusiasts. Consumers. I think enthusiasts might want this.
Scott Manchester, who's the head of engineering for this product, said in a couple interviews, and we're thinking if there is demand by consumers, we'll make this work for consumers at some point. Yeah.
It's the future of computing, if you ask me.
Yeah.
I know you said that.
Now, my contention, and Mr. Wonderful, aptly named in our chat room, says, well, but how is this more secure? Well, because I don't have to be a seeker. It's always patched. It's always up to date. I don't have to do anything.
Right. None of your data is on your device. It's all in the cloud, right?
I mean, we're going to trust Microsoft to keep it secure.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. They're professionals, and they're almost always going to do a better job than even a savvy amateur.
Right.
Yeah.
I think
so, too.
That's why, I store my password vault in the cloud instead of by myself. Some people say, I'm going to keep my vault on my
a floppy disk in your front pocket.
And I figure, if you're Bitwarden or you know what you're doing, you're going to secure that better than I can. Yeah. One hopes. Yeah.
Yes, you would hope. And then any kind of compliance processes that your organization has, or any kind of business requirements, that's automatically just going to be applied, and you don't have to worry like, am I looking at a document I shouldn't be looking at?
Oh, that's huge.
Yeah. So they basically are managing this. I mean, IT still plays a big role in managing this if they want to, but Microsoft's doing a lot of the heavy lifting. And the idea of this service was to make it easier. Right now you can do this through Windows Virtual Desktop, which got renamed to Azure Virtual Desktop. But that's not for like normal people. That's like you really got to be a high-end enterprise. You got to really know what you're doing. You are paying for the Azure services that you consume. And this is just meant to package it up, make it more available in a better way, in a cleaner way, in a simpler way to everybody in business. That's the idea.
And I think $30 for the PC you described, which is really low end, is about right.
It is. Yeah.
That's $360 a year. I think that kind of makes sense.
It's going to have to be cheaper for consumers, right?
Well, there's going to be different categories of users. I think I would be the kind of casual user that you're just like having Windows in a browser tab, and I'm doing.
See, what
some
I'd like
stuff.
To see is them let you subscribe to some number of apps. I don't need the desktop environment, but I want an app to come down.
Yes.
That kind of thing.
Right. Yeah.
So we'll see.
So,
we don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
There's all sorts of ways to
slice it.
And you can virtualize. I saw a lot of people thinking you can only virtualize Office and Microsoft apps. No, your own apps can be part of this because you're virtualizing your whole desktop. So if you have, if you have an app running on your desktop and you have the licensed rights to it and you bought it, it will run on the service automatically, right? Microsoft said the ISVs don't need to do anything to make it work. It should just work.
But you'd need it then to be running it on a Windows machine, which is kind of weird.
Do.
Why
yeah.
would you do this if you already have a Windows machine?
Well, for those security reasons you just mentioned, because you have maybe a personal machine. You don't want your company managing it as an individual, which is one of those things you could do.
Yeah.
Your company may not be sophisticated enough to do that anyway. They might, but this is a way just to have something that's secure up in the cloud. You could still hit apps or the entire desktop environment from your own computer. Yep. But when you close that window, it's your computer again. Like nothing has come to your computer.
Yep.
You don't have to worry about
it. That.
Yeah. Yeah.
I honestly think this is the future of computing. But
they got to solve a few things for consumers first, right, before they make it a consumer.
The biggest problem is the name, and I agree that it's okay. Only because there's a history to it,
That
when Office 365 came out and Microsoft 365 became a thing, people have been saying for years, it's only a matter of time. Mm-hmm. They're going to make you pay for Windows every month. That's how it's going to work. And it is going to be one of the ways it works, right? It's not going to replace Windows as a locally installed operating system or anything like that, but it's going to be another option.
I think they're not making you – I think the way to think of it is not that you're paying for Windows. You're paying for the hardware, and Windows comes on it.
Sure.
You're paying for the service.
Yeah, right.
And Windows is free, just as it would be on your PC.
It
comes along for the ride, but instead of buying a heavy-duty PC, you're doing a thin client, and the PC's in the cloud. And that's why Stadia and xCloud, these gaming services, make sense.
For sure. for sure.
And I think they're just the toe in the water for what eventually will be a lot.
Well, it's the upgrade situation that's so interesting. You know, like a game service, they could upgrade the resolution or the quality of the graphics or whatever it is. And you don't have to do anything. You just, that day you sign into your web browser or whatever and you just get it. And that's what's going to happen here as well.
There's the last mile problem. People in the chat room are saying, well, what are you going to do if you have crappy internet? Well, you're not going to do this.
That's the point. This is not replacing anything. It's additive.
Right.
They're working on offline access, they said.
I mean,
I don't know how.
Somebody's got to work on getting better internet access in the U.S. We have.
I keep ruining my tip, but one of the other session I recommend watching from Inspire is the Windows 365 session. And one of the things that's interesting about it is the presenter shows he says, we kind of optimized this for like 20 megabits, you know, download speed,
that's,
right?
That's
which is not particularly high, right? But, you know, even here in rural Pennsylvania, I can get 300. But he said, you know, it's interesting when you're on this thing, you're in the data center. So he did an internet speed test and it was like 1,000 megabytes. You know, like it was like really, because you're getting their speeds, right?
That kind of thing
helps a little bit with when you think about latency or lag or whatever.
Yeah, because you're just streaming the PC to your desktop.
So you're also getting their connection, which is a little bit better than yours. A little bit better than yours.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so you're downloading a big file or uploading a big file.
Oh, it's going to be everything that 5G promised, but didn't deliver. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know,
that's a really good point. You're just streaming the session. You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's really a good point. And 20 megs is probably plenty for that.
Yeah.
And latency is not an issue for desktop computing. It is for gaming, and they're solving it for gaming. But it's much less an issue for desktop computing, right?
If you can figure out gaming, then this kind of thing is easy.
Easy.
I know.
Yeah.
I want to see, like, you know, they talk about AV capabilities in Teams and how will that really look in this kind of service. You know, you're doing a chat.
That's what people ask, too.
They must have figured it out.
Yeah. How do I? What if I? Yeah. I want to. Yeah. I'm gonna have a webcam connected to the device I'm using. I'm gonna use a microphone. How does that work? You know, we're gonna have to find out. I don't know.
Yep.
Well, the microphone will be in the cloud.
The microphone. Just yell. You have to speak up.
Speak up.
Cloud mic.